How do you cut delivery times? How do you accelerate projects? How do you meet those deadlines that so necessarily need to be met? Speed and reliability are certainly two factors that are crucial in most, if not all, industries. So today in this episode, we're going to look at a simple principle to achieve more of both, more reliability and faster projects. Plus, this is a very special episode. Find out why now. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Markup News. I'm Mark Poppenborg, and this is a new episode. And I've got an important announcement to make. However, I'm going to leave that to the end. And first, we're going to look at why projects are so often late and why their overall lead time, their length, very often exceeds our expectations, and why that frustrates employees and frustrates management, and also how companies typically react to this observation, and why this reaction, which is very intuitive, often makes the problem worse. Now, interestingly, this whole topic of project management and timing of projects and lead time and productivity and all this kind of stuff takes me personally all the way back to my early days as a young consultant when I started my career. By the way, some of you might know, I'm one of these horrible guys who left university, and before I'd even fully graduated, I started working as a consultant. And obviously, as a consequence, I was one of these consultants who didn't know what they were talking about and yet tried to advise general managers on how they should run their company. And believe me, it felt like I was an, I was like an imposter for the early years of my career. And I know it's kind of the norm in the industry. That's how it's done. And I know that there's a mutual benefit as well, but not all of that is good, right? And either way, I learned a lot. I fell down often. I got up often. I learned a lot in a very short amount of time. So it was good for me. I don't know how good it was for the companies I advised. But all this was about 12, 13 years ago. And I worked on a lot of production projects where we were working with machine building companies. I remember advising a company that was building huge packaging machines. I worked on the production flow of centrifuges. I worked on, there's one really interesting project where we were optimizing the workflow or the project flow or the material flow of stern tube seals. So the seals that you need to protect water from entering the engine in large any motored ships, any vessels. So fascinating stuff. And most of the time, these companies had a problem that they still have today, which is that their expected lead time wasn't ever met, and that the competitors were close or even better than them. So they had to reduce their delivery times. And also they had to become a lot more reliable, because often they just weren't meeting the deadlines, and the forecasts they were making were becoming less and less predictable. Now, the reason why it was getting worse rather than better is a very common fallacy. And this fallacy applies to any organization, regardless of its sector, and that has often got a very huge impact on timing. And this fallacy applies when you are witnessing many projects within your company being late, and you feel like the predictability of your deadlines is not as high as it should be. And then, and again, this could apply to software development projects, it could apply to machine building, it could apply to consultancy projects, whatever, you name it. Normally what companies tend to do when projects are late, then what they do is they go, we're late on average, so why don't we just start earlier? It's such an intuitive reaction, right? If you start all your projects earlier and therefore allowing more time for them to be worked on, surely on average they should be completed on time in a much higher amount of cases, right? But the problem is that the opposite is true. Most of the time, if you start your projects earlier, they will become even less reliable, even less predictable in their length, and therefore you're going to be, you keep violating the deadlines that you agreed with your customers, and your overall lead time is going to get even bigger. And the reason for this is actually quite simple. It's quite straightforward once you've got your head around it. It's just counterintuitive. Because if you start earlier, what that means is that you will be working on more projects simultaneously, which in consequence means that you are obviously using your resources across more projects than you should be doing. So you're spreading your resources more thinly. So there's a lot more task switching going on, which basically means that you kind of achieve the opposite of what you set out to do, and your projects are delivered even later, and especially their lead time becomes not only longer but more variable, and therefore you've got more volatility around the forecasted delivery times. And there's a beautiful analogy that I learned in those early days as a consultant about 12-13 years ago, and that illustrates this perfectly, and I'm going to run you through this analogy quickly. So imagine you are the harbour master of a really small port, and let's assume you've got three berths and you've got three employees, and if one employee works on one ship in one berth, discharging that ship, then it will take this employee 3 days to do so. Now, if two employees work on that ship, it will take them 2 days. And if all three of your employees work on discharging that ship, then it will be discharged, fully discharged, after 1 day. Now, let's assume that it's a lovely sunny day and you've got three captains sailing in and they're all really eager to get out of your harbour again as quick as possible. And they're all calling you saying, please, dear harbour master, can you prioritise me? And because you don't want to disappoint anyone, you're going to say, okay, then I'm going to just allocate one worker per vessel. And obviously, as a consequence, after 3 days, all of those vessels will be fully discharged and ready to go. So you've got an average lead time of 3 days. In this case, every vessel took exactly 3 days to be discharged. Now, imagine you'd started working on just one vessel. So you would have disappointed two of the vessels, and you would have concentrated your resources, which is your three employees, on discharging that one vessel. Then that would have taken 1 day to discharge. Now, after 1 day, that vessel could have left the harbour, and your second captain could have entered the harbour, or maybe just waited at the other berth, and he could have then be processed within a day. So after 2 days, the second ship would leave your harbour, fully discharged, and after 3 days, you would start working on the third vessel, which would then be fully discharged after 3 days. So for the third captain, nothing has really changed. He's just been sat around waiting a bit, and his boat has only been worked on for one solid day, but he still had to wait for 3 days until he was completely discharged. Now, the other two had an advantage. And this almost feels a bit magical, right? Because it's not like your workers weren't just taking breaks or hanging around or being unproductive in the first scenario. They were working just as hard. But you were focusing those resources, and therefore you were able to get your lead time down significantly. On average, it's now 2 days. And that's only if you assume that each project kind of came into existence at the very same time. But in practice, obviously, more typically, you're going to have projects, one wants to start now, the other one wants to start here. So if you bring down the, if you focus your resources on less projects, the lead time is going to significantly go down. And if the lead time goes down, it's also going to become more reliable. So your predictions on when you're going to be done are going to be more reliable. It's a bit like I live in Brighton, as some of you know, down in the UK, at least in the area of Brighton. And imagine all the cars in Brighton wanted to get to London on one particular day, and they all left at, say, 8 o'clock in the morning. And obviously, they would all be clogging up that one resource, which is the motorway, the A23, going, which turns into the M23, going up to London. But if you started releasing, say, 2% of all the cars in Brighton at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then at 8:15 or 8:30, I didn't do the math on this, but let's assume it's kind of balanced out a bit, you would release the next 2%. Then what would happen is that because the resource, in this case the motorway, wasn't being occupied by too many projects at once, the flow of the projects would be faster, so the lead time would decrease, and also it would become a lot more reliable. You could call your relatives in London and say, we're going to be there at this time, and you can be sure that you probably will be there at this time. Now, what happens if too many projects get started on too early is that the employees in your company have a lot of task switching going on, and they will start going to the project that is led by the project manager who's able to get more attention and call for his cause in a louder manner, and maybe get some management attention as well. And then management maybe pushes for that project to get more dedicated resources until some other project manager is able to voice his concerns and draw some resources towards his project. So you've got a lot more task switching. So therefore, the lead time becomes very variable and the deadline is less predictable. So you can't really tell your customers when you're actually going to be done. And obviously this analogy with the harbour has its limits. For example, if you've got specialised workforce that you can't just randomly put on any project, that will impact the way you can streamline stuff. And there's obviously a bit more to all of this, but the key message still remains true, which is the more you focus until the point where it becomes inefficient because certain people are just waiting around until it's their turn, the more you focus, the shorter your lead time is going to become and the more you're going to get done. So if you start projects as late as possible rather than as early as possible, and at the same time you're avoiding parallel work, then you're much more likely to get your projects done on time, which is almost a bit magical. But I've seen this work over and over again, and I've advised companies where we've visualized all this stuff. We had like project boards and it was painful. You know, we had to tell the captain, the project manager, to wait because it's not your turn yet. Your project isn't going to be released yet. It's not going to occupy any resources in this company until another project has left or has crossed the finish line. So there's a whole concept behind this, by the way, and it's closely related to the whole idea of critical chain project management, CCPM. There's a lot of literature out there about this, and there's more to it than I'm mentioning here. For example, you typically take the buffers that you attach to different project phases, you bundle them, you put them at the end of a project, and you also shorten them so they kind of get eaten into while the project goes along. And also you protect your bottlenecks. There's some other stuff here, and it's not negligible, but I'm not here to educate you on multi-project management. I want to focus on this one idea that is so crucial to companies getting stuff done. And also for your personal productivity, it's crucial. If you know, the controllable amount of projects that come onto your desk, be them, whether they're private or related to work, it has the exact same impact. Obviously, if you start more projects at the same time, it means you have to do more task switching and you're gonna dedicate your limited resources to too many things at the same time. So in this, when you tell the story this way around, it makes a lot of sense. It seems quite plausible. Yet, this happens over and over and over again. I'm kind of connected to a project at the moment that we're running in our consultancy, and there's 50 projects being worked on simultaneously in a rather small organization, and nothing's going anywhere, obviously. Now, I must admit that I learned this the hard way, and I keep making this mistake myself, because it is so intuitive to just start earlier when you realize or experience this unsatisfactory lead time that your projects have. So you want to start earlier, but it just makes things worse. And I often get lured into new projects because they excite me, and then they cause me to start them before I've completed other stuff. And because of the boss I might be because I'm the boss of my company, I make it worse for the whole organization, because sometimes I start on projects that then require other resources, which means that our whole company becomes less focused. And that frustrates our employees, and it obviously frustrates me as well. So next time you witness projects being late in your company, maybe suggest starting all your projects later, not earlier, later, and see what happens. And as I said, I've seen this many times work in practice. It typically reduces the lead time and it makes your predictions a lot more reliable. Now, I chose this insight for a very particular reason. And as you might have noticed in this episode, I haven't included any publication. I haven't deconstructed any articles. And that's because my own personal situation right now kind of serves as the story for this episode. Because, as I've mentioned in other episodes, I'm currently working on my book. And that is due to be released in June, end of June, maybe early July at the latest. And I also mentioned the last episode, we've got loads of really exciting stuff going on at the moment. And so we're on that, we're at this threshold where we're almost taking on too much again. Probably we are, but I don't want to make it even worse, right? And I could say I stupidly started working on stuff already and too early. And now in the interest of focus, I want to make a change. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break in the Markup News. And believe me, this decision really wasn't easy for myself to make, because A, I really enjoy doing this, as hopefully you notice, and B, this is only the 9th episode, I think. So, you know, it's still very early days. We haven't really got going yet. And now I'm taking a break, which probably isn't great for the algorithm as well, and all those kind of reasons that you could draw up. But I feel like I can't preach these principles and then not adhere to them myself. So the problem is that this project is an ongoing project. So it's a bit like a vessel that has an infinite amount of containers. So it just has to be discharged on a daily basis. And it's blocking a berth, and it's blocking resources and a large chunk of my time, and obviously also some other colleagues of mine are investing time into this show. So I have come to this tough conclusion. And as for now, at least, I won't promise any return date. I'm assuming I'm probably going to be back at the end of June, beginning of July. Let's see how the whole thing goes. Until then, I want to say thank you once again for supporting this show so far. And let me know what you thought of the first 9 episodes. If you want more, let me know. Send me a comment, like this video, and obviously subscribe and hit the bell if you want to get informed when the next video does go live sometime in June or July. And until then, keep challenging the status quo, keep asking critical questions, and most importantly, I'd say keep thinking for yourselves. So until then, happy days, see you in the near future, and thank you very much for watching, guys. I'll see you soon. Bye.